Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, a South Texas community partner for generations. Christus Spahn is proud to be a part of your life, caring for families and providing quality medical care to all. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, the Dr. and Mrs. Hugh A. Kennedy Foundation, and the Koch Foundation, supporting the Catholic Church and its ministries across South Texas.
Live from Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to the Cathedral Sunday Mass, where the gospel is proclaimed and our spirit refreshed by the real presence of the living God. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Good morning to all of you, both here in the cathedral and those who are streaming. We're here to praise our God, Father, Son, and Spirit, a trinity of persons who love one another and live in harmony and unity, the very model that we as people on this earth are called to fashion our lives from the family to communities to parishes. And yes, as our Holy Father has declared today in his new encyclical, all of humanity to be one family, because we are all children of God. Let us begin by acknowledging our sins and so preparing ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. Lord Jesus, you raise the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you bring pardon and peace to the sinner. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
And Lord Jesus, you bring light to those in darkness. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, who in the abundance of your kindness surpass the merits and the desires of those who entreat you, pour out your mercy upon us to pardon what conscience dreads and to give what prayer does not dare to ask. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Let me now sing of my friend's song concerning his vineyard. My friend had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He spaded it, cleared it of stones, and planted the choicest vines. Within it, he built a watchtower and hewed out a wine press. Then he looked for the crop of grapes, but what it yielded was wild grapes. Now inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I had not done? Why, when I looked for the crop of grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? Now I will let you know what I mean to do with my vineyard. Take away its hedge, give it to grazing. Break through the wall, let it be trampled. Yes, I will make it a ruin. It shall not be pruned or hoed, but overgrown with thorns and briars. I will command the clouds not to send rain upon it. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his cherished plant. He looked for judgment, but see bloodshed, for justice, but hark the outcry. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Then the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priest and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When the vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and the one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes'? Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning again to all of you, and welcome to this 27th Sunday in ordinary time, and also the first Sunday of October, which is Respect Life Sunday. As we begin this month, we spend this month with an awareness of the beauty and the giftedness of human life. The gospel reading, in fact, the readings throughout today's Liturgy of the Word, speak to us of a vineyard. I'm sure you, and if you've traveled even in Texas, you've seen vineyards. I spent 8 years in Italy and have seen the most beautiful vineyards. I've also seen the most crummy of vineyards. But usually if there's a vineyard that is well kept, where the grapes are growing, you also see somewhere along the rows of vines, a vine grower. Someone who is tilling the soil, someone who is snipping the dead branches, someone who's there. Those that are crummy, you see no one. It looks like no one's been there for years. And that image is the image of the church. It's the image of humanity. The vine grower is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is present to us today, especially in his word and in his sacraments. And he's there to clip away what is counterproductive to our lives, there to till our soil, perhaps push our buttons in other languages, but he's there. Cooperating with him, our vineyard, the vineyard of the family, the vineyard of the church, the vineyard of the human race, grows and flourishes because it is experiencing life in Jesus Christ. Without his gospel, we're left to our own ideas, our own inventions, which in many cases can destroy us and destroy each other. And so today, in our annual celebration for life, we stand before God. We come here to experience God in this beautiful cathedral and to acknowledge that God is the author of life, not us. Not us. The life that you and I are given is God's gift to you and me at the moment of our conception. At the moment of our conception. And we live this gift that is life each day as a gratuitous gift from Almighty God. He is the one that sustains our life as the vine grower in the vineyard. Whether we live one day or 2 hours on this earth or 100 years, as a friend of mine celebrated his 100th birthday this week, it is all according to God's loving plan, because to God, time doesn't mean anything. It means something to us. But God is love. And love knows no time. Love knows no boundaries. It is according to God's loving plan that God gives us life. It dawned on me this week in preparing for today that each year we celebrate a birthday, a day in which we entered into this world and breathed the air of this life. But there is another day in which our life really began. If we say, as we believe, that life begins at conception, then yours, life, and mine began 9 months, 8 months, 7 months before our birthday. On what day was I conceived? I don't know. My mother doesn't know, didn't know. The only person that knows the moment, the second, the day that I was conceived or you was conceived is Almighty God. That's his day with us. That's our personal moment when life comes from God. If we took the time to consider our own conception, not just the day of our birth, which is a great gift, but the day of our conception and the mystery that it is, I think we would have a much different and more profound respect for life. You see, we live life so quickly that we don't even take the time to stop, consider, reflect, meditate. When did life begin? When did life begin for that person that I may turn away from or scorn? Human life has a beginning. And the actual day is a mystery. It's a mystery that belongs to God. Even as we consider life, we know that we are trained and conditioned by so many things around us to see life through a different lens, through ideologies, politics, whether a person is rich or poor, sick or healthy, what they can do in society, their function, how valuable are they, their nationality, race, language, age, health. Are they convenient to us? You see, these are our categories. These are our categories, not God's. Love goes beyond all of this. That's why we are all one family in Almighty God, because He doesn't see or judge by what we do. We saw recently in the reading, in one of the readings from the prophet Isaiah, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts." We belong to God. Life belongs to God. Love belongs to God. God sees all that He has created, and what do we know from Genesis? He saw it. He sees it as good. G-O-O-D. Capital. And it is good, because it is God's. All life is His, and His life is love, which He shares with us. If we could understand that, that God saw all things, creation, the moon, the stars, the water, the birds, the fish, cattle, and yes, those pesky little ants and gnats and everything else, God saw all of that, and He saw it as good. And above all of that, He sees the crowning of His creation, you and me, as good. Every one of us, every one of us, every one of us, God saw and sees as good. And so much does He love us that He sent His Son, phase two of what I want to say today. God became human in Jesus Christ. I was shocked this week in a seminar that some people don't believe or don't understand that Jesus is God. Well, that's what Christmas is. Jesus is God. And He came and lived with us. He lived our life, the life that you and I breathe. He was conceived. He walked among us for 33 years. And He continues to be present, as I said, especially in His Word, the Gospel. And in His Word, in everything He says, everything we read here in the Gospel Sunday after Sunday, or that we pick up at home and read in our Bibles, it's all love. God is that vineyard, that vine grower in our vineyard, teaching us if we would only pay attention and do what He tells us to do. In His Word, He taught us to love life at conception. His own conception and birth demonstrates that. Think about it. We could not say, or we can say, that His conception in the womb of His mother, the Virgin Mary, was unusual. It's never happened since. It was out of the norm. Mary and Joseph, as parents, questioned the conception. Mary said, "How can this be?" And Joseph, when he was given the news, kind of like, "Whoa, wait a minute." Joseph wasn't sure that he wanted to endure the shame, both socially and religiously, in his religious tradition, to take his betrothed into his house with a child. Very inconvenient. Very unusual, very disconcerting. It would change their lives. It would put a strain, perhaps, on their future marriage. It was not according to their plans, the conception of Jesus. But both of them valued God's plan. And both of them welcomed this new life into their own. Herod, however, saw Jesus, this newly conceived child, which he didn't know where it was, as a threat. Jesus would threaten in his mind, because he didn't know the plan of God for Jesus, his authority, his power, and he sought to kill him, and in doing so murdered many innocent children. Mary and Joseph, whom God gave responsibility to raise this child of his, did everything that they could to protect his innocent life. When his life was threatened, they sacrificed and abandoned their home country, their friends, their relatives, and they fled the country to Egypt. All this to save a child, to save a life who was life for the world. From this Christmas story that we all know so well, can we not say that at the beginning, the conception of Jesus in his mother's womb, that his life began, his story began, and ours has meaning, even in our own conception. As the body of Christ and the church today, I want to give thanks to all mothers and fathers for their cooperation with God in conceiving and giving birth to their children. To mothers and fathers who have had to make difficult decisions and to receive life into their own lives that has altered their lives, their conveniences and plans as a family, thank you for your courage and the example you have given to receive the life of a child in your care. To mothers and fathers who have lost a child, either before birth or at birth, thank you for the strength in bearing the pain of the loss of your child. And to mothers who may have suffered the trauma of an abortion, God has never been absent from you. God's love has never been removed from you or your child. God's love endures forever. His love is mercy. And to all the individuals, organizations, foster parents, protective homes, and agencies in our diocese especially, who care for mothers and children at risk, thank you for your love and your concern for life, not just the individual, but for life. And then there is a third dimension to understanding life during this Respect Life month, is our own attitude toward life, beyond the womb, beyond the child. And again, we look at the vine grower walking through the fields, Jesus Christ. What was his attitude toward people? Jesus approached all people, the marginalized. Think of Zacchaeus, the tax collector that climbed into the tree to look at Jesus. Think of Matthew sitting at his tax table, and Jesus calling him to be apostle. They were hated. They were marginalized. Think of the blind, the lame, the sick, the sinful, the poor, and so many others. People who in different ways, with different attitudes, had to live at the edge of life, at the edge of the social norms of the group of people that ran things. They were rejected because they did not fit in. Where's the vine grower? He sought them out. He went to their homes. He sat at their tables. He treasured them as brothers and sisters of the same family of God. They were God's children. They were God's children. He allowed them, these sinful, rejected, marginalized people, he allowed them to touch him. Remember the woman who just wanted to touch his cloak. He sometimes stood between them and an angry crowd. He sometimes stood between them and judgmental authorities to prove that they had dignity, even in their sinfulness or their difficulties. And they too were called to a conversion of life. You see, Jesus saw all of them as good. Good by virtue of their birth. by virtue of the love that they received, conceived in their mother's wombs. Then there were the strangers that were part of the Israel community of Judah. They too could be considered immigrants from another place, people who didn't belong to our society. There was the Samaritan woman, remember, that Jesus met at Jacob's well. She was a Samaritan. She was not part of the in crowd. She had five husbands, probably not seen with much favor in her community or her family. But Jesus had enough love for her to sit down at the well with her and do what? Dialogue with her, which means to talk to her, to get to know her, to listen to her story. And in that, what did he do? He revealed the beauty of her life, called her to a conversion, and restored her dignity as a child of God. And for that, she was grateful. Had he ignored her, had he criticized her, judged her, pushed her aside, walked by her, she would have never known the beauty of life. You see, you and I, sisters and brothers, are called to that same mission today. And not only that, sisters and brothers, he forgave his friends who abandoned him at the moment of the cross in his greatest need. He forgave those who condemned him to death, and he forgave his executioners. You see, God's love for our neighbor is love for life. It makes us people who are free. It frees us from all the conditions that make us unhappy, that makes us angry, frustrated. Love frees us from all of that. And yes, there was someone next to him on the cross who was also condemned to death, imprisoned, you might say, and he forgave him. He had enough freedom and love that he forgave the condemned man. And finally, another phase of life, the fourth, there is a time to die. That is part of the life cycle. That time also, as our conception, belongs to God, not to us. Fear of pain and suffering, fear of the unknown, fear of the afterlife is not a reason for us to say, I can't take it anymore. Pain exists, suffering exists, but thank God with medical advancements we can also, and the love of family and friends standing around people, perhaps we could endure life until it ends. Our mysterious life is a mysterious story, and only God knows the moment that we began in our mother's womb, and only God should determine when we return to Him. This is the beauty of love, the beauty of God's plan. All life is good, and all life belongs to God. Every day, especially this month, we could practice more. Let us open our lives to those that we have rejected or ignored or have simply been angry at. They are a life that belongs to God. At the moment of our own death, it is not death, it is resurrection. New life, love, joy, freedom, and peace will come as we pass from this life of love to eternal love, eternal life, because there we will see God face to face. We will look into the eyes of God and say, thank you for the gift of being conceived in my mother's womb, and thank you, Father, for receiving me into eternal life. At that moment, we will stare into the eyes of love forever, and eternity, eternity of life, eternity of love with all our loved ones before us, will be ours. Sisters and brothers, we now are called to profess our faith in God, Father, Son, and Spirit, as we pray, I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. The Lord, the giver of life, proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. My dear friends, let us trust to Almighty God, to his mercy and his abundant love, all that we have in our hearts, all the needs that we have.
For the church, that we may be worthy of the producing good fruit to build up the kingdom of God, we pray to the Lord. For lawmakers and all those who hold public office, may they imitate the goodness of God who secures justice and the rights of all the oppressed, and that during this Respect for Life Month, we will work fervently to advance the gospel of life. We pray to the Lord. For those who suffer from any kind of illnesses, in a particular way, we pray for the President Trump and the First Lady, and all those suffering due to the coronavirus. May the Lord bring them healing, comfort, and strength. We pray to the Lord. For all those who struggle in faith, may the Lord console them with his promises and help them in any unbelief. We pray to the Lord. For all of us gathered here, that through the intercession of St. Francis of Assisi, we may be instruments of peace, and also may we have a great appreciation and care for our pets who serve us in companionship. We pray to the Lord. And for our beloved deceased, in a special way, Alonso Garcia, Julio R. Gomez, Mary Sarate, Mark Bettis, Maria Hernandez, and the deceased members of the Hagelin family, may they be welcome into God's kingdom. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And in thanksgiving for our Blessed Mother Mary and her intercession, and for those intentions we now offer from the silence of our hearts, we pray to the Lord.
Loving Father, you are love, and your love is expressed in the life that you share with each one of us. Give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom to honor life, protect life, and to speak up for life. We ask all of this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Accept, O Lord, we pray, the sacrifice instituted by your commands, and through the sacred mysteries which we celebrate with dutiful service, graciously complete the sanctifying work by which you are pleased to redeem us. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For through his paschal mystery he accomplished the marvelous deed by which he has freed us from the yoke of sin and death, summoning us to the glory of being now called a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for your own possession, to proclaim everywhere your mighty works, for you have called us out of darkness into your own wonderful light. And so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory as without end we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread, and giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim that the Lord, we profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity together with Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, the Blessed Apostles, Saint Francis of Assisi, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. And now, as the vineyard of the Lord, as a family of God, let us pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom of
God. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you."
Hello, I'm Father Pete Alisadro, Rector of the Corpus Christi Cathedral. And on behalf of Bishop Mulvey and the Cathedral family, we want to thank you for joining us for the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. May God continue to bless you and all of your loved ones with His love, peace, and joy. And may you always know how we carry you always in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, a part of your life, providing advanced quality care and vital services close to home and dedicated to keeping South Texas healthy and strong. More information is available at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast. If you have been blessed by our efforts and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.